Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello, this is Jacob Avila of the Ultrasound Gel Podcast. I'm joined today by Mike Pratt and Craig Bolger. How are y'all?
I'm doing quite well.
Wonderful.
Do you guys like that I said y'all? Because it was because we're kind of in the South. Ohio's the South, right? So the article we're going to review today is entitled Point of Care Ultrasound for Diagnosis of Abscess in Skin and Soft Tissue Infections. And this was published in Academic Emergency Medicine, and it was published in 2016. So the reason that we have this study here is because we have patients often, they'll have a little bit of redness in their arm, and you're not 100% sure if that redness is cellulitis or an abscess. Cellulitis traditionally gets treated very well with antibiotics, and an abscess generally needs a scalpel or, you know, maybe a syringe to drain some of that pus. So the objective was to describe the operating characteristics of point-of-care ultrasound compared to clinical exam in identifying abscesses in ED patients with soft tissue infections.
Now, this was a study that took a look at all the other studies. This is a systematic review and a little bit of meta-analysis thrown in there. So their inclusion for the studies were anyone that compared clinical exam to ultrasound for detection of an abscess. This was in adults or pediatric patients. They were looking for both studies. They needed to have the standard being pus drainage in order for them to consider it as part of this review. They excluded patients that or studies that were not in the ED or using emergency physicians, and they also excluded ones that were looking at intraoral abscesses or ones that needed to go to the operating room. The way they did this was the usual searching every single database possible, and they calculated heterogeneity as well for these. The interventions in some of these studies was basically using ultrasound to detect whether this was an abscess or cellulitis, and then confirming that with either drainage or not drainage. Sometimes this included follow-up visits or follow-up calls of the patients. So, as far as the results, Cray, what did they find?
So, the final results, over 10 years, they had 6 studies for a total of 800 patients. I think it's important to note that almost 70% of these patients were pediatric. And so that may not apply to a lot of people using this. It's also a different population from a management standpoint. So there was a lot of heterogeneity amongst the studies. They actually ended up excluding one of the studies that... the Marin study, which was probably one of the larger studies that looked at clinically obvious abscesses, not just the ones where there was a diagnosis in question. The majority of these studies compared clinical exam to clinical exam plus point of care ultrasound. And so just seeing which one had better predictability of abscess versus cellulitis.
Yeah, I think just to talk a little bit about the Marin study, it was a little bit strange. So they found 6 trials overall with 800 patients. The Marin trial, like you said, Cray, was the largest study in that population. And this was a pediatric-only trial. This one had different results, but also different methods than the rest. So the Marin study was different in that it did not exclude those that were obviously an abscess. So even if it was like a huge volcano erupting pus on their arm, they still ultrasounded it and tried to figure out if this was possibly only cellulitis. So I think that may have skewed the results a little bit. And we can talk about this more when we look at the results of the studies, but when they did a subgroup analysis of patients that were not obvious, then it performed similarly to the other studies.
So inclusions for most of the studies were any suspicion for some kind of soft tissue infection. Exclusions for the majority of studies, as Mike said, except for the Marin study, were if it was obviously draining, the patient was immunocompromised, or if it was a head and neck infection, because those are handled a little bit differently. So the primary outcomes, if they take the Marin study out, we went from 800 patients down to 400, an N of 413. The sensitivity for point-of-care ultrasound for detection of soft tissue infection 97% with a specificity of 83%. So one thing they found is the more training you have in soft tissue ultrasound, the better you perform in interpreting soft tissue ultrasound, which I think is a fairly obvious statement, but maybe needs to be reiterated. There's a lot of limitations, obviously, in point-of-care ultrasound. I think we brought some of those up in the introduction when it comes to soft tissue infections. I think some of the exclusion criteria for this study make me a little bit concerned, including the ones that they thought needed to go to the operating room or that ended up needing to go to the operating room. The exclusion of the Marin study, I think, can be debated as to its relevance. And so I think we have a lot to talk about on this one.
Yeah, there's problems with any time you try to pool data that's not perfectly homogeneous. And in this case, these studies were kind of different. I mean, a couple of them were pediatric, a couple of them were adults. They varied slightly in what they included and excluded. So I think that we should take the meta-analysis portion where they looked at the sensitivity and specificity, take that rather lightly. Overall, though, when you look at the studies individually and you can see that 5 out of 6 of these showed that ultrasound was superior to physical exam, perhaps that's a trend that we can take away.
I think it's using it in the right patient population, and I think that may be part of the inclusion or exclusion of the Marin study and using it in the right clinical context. I always tell my residents, if you were planning to cut before you were going to ultrasound, you probably shouldn't ultrasound. So I think that's that population that Marin included is the one that's obviously draining the big softball that's nice and fluctuant. You know, I think those are not the ones that I need to scan. But the red, maybe it's a little bit soft in the middle. Is there a pocket there? Absolutely. But it's training your faculty and staff to do it the right way, to use compression, to look for swirling, and to really track the entirety of the infection. For the operable ones that were excluded, those to me sometimes are the ones that I really want the ultrasound for. I want to know, is underneath that red area, is it deep to the fascial plane? Is it superficial? Where is my abscess? And I think ultrasound can really help in that population. So overall, I think this study probably supports what a lot of us do and use this kind of in correlation with our physical exam. I don't think using it mutually exclusive from your physical exam is feasible nor appropriate.
It's dumb.
Yeah. I agree with you, Cray. One of the things that I always emphasize with any learner is that the ultrasound is not to replace anything. It's a part of your tool chest. It's an arrow in your quiver, if you would. And like you said, if you're like pretty sure, like you're like greater than 90% sure that that's an abscess, you don't need an ultrasound, just cut it. I typically do an ultrasound just because I like the way the swirly looks on when you compress with the ultrasound. It's more just because I like that. But
it makes you happy.
It makes me happy. That's like a lava lamp. But yeah, if
so, you're putting the patient through that extra pain just to make you happy.
Correct. Correct. because that's how I roll. That's how I roll. Now, one of the issues that I had with this study is with basically all of the ultrasound literature that looks at abscess, or most of it, abscesses versus soft tissue infections, or cellulitis versus abscess. And that is the fact that they compare the clinical exam and the ultrasound to the clinical exam as a gold standard. And that doesn't work. I mean, to make a good study that I would believe the results for 100%, you'd have to do clinical exam, ultrasound, and then an immediate MRI. That would be the best study for soft tissue infections. And that, unfortunately, I haven't really seen a big study that does that yet.
That may not ever be done.
Correct.
I think that would be really good for ED throughput, though. Definitely.
Right, every abscess. Take them from the low acuity area
to the MRI.
Bring them to fast MRI. Track to MRI.
Yeah, but I mean that would be like that's the gold standard, right? Even CT scan is not like necessarily the best one. The MRI and done right after the exam would be the best gold standard you could have. But we don't have that yet. That's why you got. I mean, for me, anything with abscesses versus cellulitis and ultrasound, I always take it with a grain of salt because their gold standard is: did the patient need a drainage later? Which doesn't mean they didn't have an abscess. You know, they could have had a small one that got better.
Exactly. That's what I was about to bring up. This having pus drain from the wound is not a real patient-centered outcome. So what we want to know is if you miss any of these, either on ultrasound or on physical exam, is it someone that's going to need a procedure later that you should have done? Are they going to have worse outcomes as a result of missing it? Or is this like a tiny sub-centimeter abscess that is going to get better with antibiotics?
Well, and even that's a hard question to answer, right? Because with the stage of antibiotic resistance and the various bugs, you know, if you're in a coastal town doing this, you just might have picked the wrong antibiotic, you know, where you're not covering for the appropriate bacteria. And that's not that the ultrasound failed or your physical exam failed. It's that your antibiotics failed.
Right.
And so that makes this question even more complicated, I think, right?
Right. So all that to say, I think that what I took from this review of the literature on soft tissue infections was that the physical exam is going to fail you. If there's a population that would benefit from ultrasound, it's those where it's unclear by your exam whether or not there is a possible abscess there. And I think that's where the ultrasound has the best chance of helping you out.
Agree.
Agreed. But everything will fail you in the end.
Wow. On that very dismal note, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast.
Love you guys.